listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
All right, it's Metal Shop here on 99.9 KISW. On the phone, a friend of the show. He is the vocalist for a band called Gate Creeper. They just released Deserted yesterday on Relapse Records. They are coming to town Friday, November 29th at Substation. Co-headlining tour with Exhumed. They're also playing with Necrot and Judiciary. Chase Mason, Gate Creeper vocalist, on the phone. What's up, Chase?
Yo, welcome, man.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Just hanging out, man. It's good to hear from you. You've had a eventful last 24 hours, right?
Yep, yeah.
So tell me a little, let's do a little rundown, man. You've had some events going down in Arizona and your local area, and what have you been up to, man? You had a release show or release party?
Yeah, we're doing a release show, but it's in a couple of weeks. It's kind of the beginning of that tour that you were just talking about. But our record just came out yesterday, so we did kind of like a record signing sort of thing at Zia Records, a local record store chain.
Hell yeah!
And we had a pizza party. A local pizza company let us design our own pizza for it. So like a pizza party, and people came and had stuff signed, so it was really cool.
That's dope.
And then after that, we had just, instead of a release show, we just had a release party. Like,
nice.
I DJed at this bar, and it was fun. It was good times, so
that's
I'm
for
glad
the,
that it's
the hometown
out.
Crew.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me a little bit about the slice, man, the Gate Creeper pizzas. Like, what was the one that you designed?
So this place has one of their appetizers. They have mac and cheese bites.
Nice.
Like little balls of mac and cheese that are deep fried.
That's where this is going.
So we had them put that on the pizza.
Ooh.
And they had chicken, bacon, the mac and cheese bites, and then some buffalo sauce.
Was it called like the Deserted, or what was it called?
It was the Barbaric Pleasures.
Oh, that's awesome. I dig it, man. Well, that is the name of the song that we're going to be playing here in a minute, but... Your parents were at the party, man. Have they been supportive of you guys for over the years?
Yeah, I mean they've never came to see us play.
Okay. Might be a little too heavy for them, but
yeah. It's a little scary.
But I didn't even know they were coming. It just kind of surprised me there, so it was cool to see them.
That's cool, man.
But yeah, they've been supportive. I mean, I've been playing in bands since I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so it was cool to have them there. Since this is the most important thing that I've done yet.
Oh yeah. And you guys have been making moves. Hey, what's the weather like down there in Arizona right now? We're freezing our nuts off up here, man. It's super cold.
It's nice here right now. I'm outside. It's not too hot. It's not cold. It's the fall for Arizona, which is nice. It will maybe get hoodie weather at some point, but
maybe
right now it's pretty nice. Yeah. Now that the sun's down, it's nice.
Yeah.
Well, we got to mention, man, the album is called Deserted. You guys are from Arizona. The cover's pretty brutal with like a desert theme. A lot of people dying, a lot of death on that one. How much has growing up in Arizona like influenced your band, like growing up in the desert?
I think it's influenced a lot. You know, I try to, whether it's, you know, subconscious or not, it's an extreme climate. I don't know if you guys have been to Arizona before.
Oh,
but
yeah. My grandma lived in Mesa. I would go down there a lot.
Oh, nice. That's where I grew up, in Mesa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Shout out Jimmy Eat World, also from Mesa.
The sweetness.
So it's really hot. Like in the summer, you can go outside, but it sucks. And I always use this comparison because I think it makes it a little bit, something that people can understand. So, you know, you have black metal from Norway,
mm-hmm.
and they're all about the cold,
yep.
and the snow and the ice, and that influences their music that way. Ours is kind of the opposite. For them, you know, it's like it's blizzarding outside, so you got to stay inside. For us, it's just like super hot outside. So either way, you're kind of forced inside, and I think the way that that's influenced me growing up or living here, and then when you're forced to stay inside, whether you're a kid or you're an adult, you kind of limits the things that you can do, and it maybe makes it so that you have to be a little bit more creative.
Right.
Maybe it will help your imagination a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find ways to entertain yourself. So for me, being stuck indoors as a kid or even as an adult, I just kind of use that time to do something creative, you know, learn to play an instrument or doing visual art or whatever.
Yeah, doing artwork,
I think it's, long story short, I think it's made me more creative by living in an extreme climate.
So like up in the Northwest, like I've been talking about, but we're kind of protected by like a couple of mountain ranges up here. We got like the Cascades and the Olympics. And so we're tucked in this little like rain pocket. But like, dude, the future of the world's not looking too well. It's actually looking pretty hot right now.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Like, we were looking at the cover of Deserted, man. Like, what do you think is going to be the future of Arizona weather and like Arizona, also hand in hand, Arizona local like music scene and stuff? Are you guys going to be able to hold it out in the 120, 30, 40 degrees? You know,
will there ever be a future where the album cover becomes reality?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, probably there will be. It's just the question of how soon it will be. Some might say it's already unlivable where we're at. So we'll see. And that's kind of. I'm glad that you guys got that from the cover, because I gave the guy that painted the cover, Brad Moore, I gave him a very vague and kind of general direction.
Mm-hmm.
At the time when I started working with him on him, I knew the album title was going to be Deserted. So I just said, I want a pretty crazy looking, very busy cover. I want it to be a post-human desert landscape.
Wow.
So I let him run with that. He's kind of like almost a psychedelic kind of guy. So whatever his interpretation of, you know, they could be interpreted, you know, no life form at all.
Sure.
Or there's some sort of alien life form, you know, post-human life. So I think he kind of took it in both directions.
Yeah, very psychedelic.
You look at it, it's kind of weird. That's one of the options of what's going to happen when we all burn to death here.
It won't be long, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, positive message.
Woo, PMA.
So I was listening to you on a podcast this week, and you mentioned that you actually have the painting now of the album cover, like in your house.
Yeah.
That's tight.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah. Chase, let's jump into one of your songs real quick, and then let's carry on the conversation. Is that cool with you?
Yeah. What are you gonna play?
So what do you think? Let's do Boiled Over, man.
All right.
One of the songs that you were mentioning.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man. How do you you intro this one, okay? We'll turn our mics off.
Yeah.
It's time for you to play Cheesy Radio DJ. Intro Boiled Over, okay?
Me or you guys?
You?
You.
You're the DJ, man.
All right. Do I say my do I have a little tag? Like,
sure.
Yeah, I
want to
hear what
all.
You got, man. Let's see what
Morning
you got.
Morning radio, dude.
All right, ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, what's up? This is Chase from Gate Creeper. You're listening to our new song, Boiled Over, from Deserted.
There you go. Yes, you got the job. All right.
That's dope.
Cool.
All right.
Gate Creeper, brand new stuff off their album Deserted, just came out yesterday on Relapse Records. Coming back to town very soon at the end of November at the substation. We're talking to Chase Mason, the vocalist of the band and owner of one of the coolest mustaches in all of heavy metal.
It's a badass mustache.
It is. Hey, so thanks again for talking to us, man. And it's been really cool because we've been trying to follow you guys since the beginning of your career. But this new album, Deserted, has gotten it's gotten a lot of good reviews and a lot of press so far. And we just wanted to get a really honest answer to this question. Like, do you guys take a lot of these reviews like to heart? Do you seek them out? Do you pay attention to them? Do you change anything based off of what people say? What's your reaction when you see something really good or really bad to these reviews? Because there've been a lot of them coming out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, me personally, and also I know that Eric, our guitar player, we read them. Like, you know, I'll search for Gate Creeper, whether it's Google or Twitter or whatever it is, and I'll read all of them. I don't think that I let it affect me in any way. Yeah, it's cool invalidating if people like it.
Right.
But if someone doesn't like it and they say, I don't like this in it, I don't think we're going to change that. You know, maybe subconsciously I'll think of, it'll affect me. And think,
it'll reach
a good
day,
idea
yeah.
when I try to do that again.
Yeah.
But I definitely read them. Fortunately, a lot of most of them are pretty good.
Yeah.
I think the best part of reading stuff like that and what we found on this is that a lot of the ideas that we've had and a lot of the intention behind our ideas, like we're going to do this part and it will be cool because of this, or like, hey, we're doing this part that like this part's like a crowbar part, mm-hmm. or like we have a song from the Ashes, or like literally like, oh, this is our Amon Amarth song. You know, and people, yeah. we have these reference points for different things that we're doing.
Totally.
And then seeing reviews or people just telling us, people, our friends that have heard it, and they're catching those references.
Right. That's they're awesome. Like, yo, that's really we know cool what thing. You were doing.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. So that's a cool part about reading those reviews. There's some bad ones. You know, anybody can review a record. Anybody has, you know, you don't have to have any... You don't have to know what you're talking about to have a blog, you know?
Yeah, we've seen it. I know what you mean.
But
so some of them are good. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Music journalism is it's part of this whole thing.
Yeah, I put a big quotation around music journalism. And that's as a, quote, music journalist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But some of the people that do know what they're talking about, Decibel Magazine, and you guys actually just made the cover of Decibel Magazine. Pretty huge moment for the band. When did you first hear this was going to happen? First off, are you a subscriber of Decibel Magazine?
Yeah, I have been for at least 10 years.
That's awesome, man.
Oh,
so,
hell yeah.
So it does mean quite a bit to you.
And, full circle.
When did you first hear about this was going to happen, and like, what was your first immediate reaction to it?
Well, I first heard about it, I think, probably like last year.
Okay. So it's been in the works.
Someone from Relapse was like, hey, you know, Albert from Decibel was talking to us about, you know, he wants to put Gatekeeper on the cover, maybe not for this next record, but maybe you're basically for us, like the third one.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, that we're at least being mentioned for it.
And you go out and you buy the frame preemptively.
Yeah.
Just
yeah, exactly.
for when it comes out. Yeah.
So the possibility was there and I was like, oh, cool. But, you know, it seemed like so far down the line.
Yeah.
This is our second record. He was pretty much talking about, you know, maybe not this one, but the next one. And when we finished the record, as soon as we delivered it to the label, they sent it to Decibel Albert, like one of the first people. They're like, you got to hear this. And I think as soon as he heard it, he was like,
okay, now what is the time?
Like, it's all right, on.
Yeah, forget the next one. Let's do this one.
Yeah, let's go. That's now.
Awesome.
That
I also think because Decibel, I don't think they gave us any love on our last record.
Okay.
So, and he's even told me, Albert, the main dude from Decibel, he told me personally, your last record was cool. It wasn't bad, but I just didn't really stick with him.
I didn't like,
and he was saying that not in a mean way. He was saying that in a way of like, your new record is really good.
Yeah.
I really like it. You guys, we basically won him over and then some.
Yeah.
You know, the record's really good. The last one, it was good, but this one is.
Dude, you were on the cover of Decibel Magazine.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is so dope. Man, congratulations. Hey, so we want to, like, okay. So Kurt Ballou, you know, a dude who's got a pedigree across many different types of music, but especially, obviously, from Converge and also as, like, a mixing, producing master. How did you, because Kurt Ballou at God City mixed your album, but how did you guys record the tracks? Did you guys do this on your own? Because, it's 2019. We've all got the capability to do that. And he did the mixing. How did you guys get the tracks like laid down in the first place?
We have a friend that has a studio in Tucson.
Nice.
That we've recorded everything Gatekeeper has ever put out. We've recorded with him. But this is the third record, I guess you'd say, that Kurt has mixed for us. Sonora Deprivation, that was the first one that we recorded in Tucson and then Kurt mixed. And then we did another session, which was released as the Sweltering Madness 7-inch and the Iron Reagan split.
Nice.
We recorded those all that as one session, and Kurt mixed that. That was the second one. So this is the third time that he's mixed it, kind of the same crew. You know, we record it with our friend Ryan Bram in Tucson, and then we send it to him. But this record was the first time that I actually went to God City while he was mixing it. Usually it was just kind of passing notes back and forth through email.
So you were a supervisory role.
Yeah, so I actually went, just me, and I went there. He was mixing it for maybe 4 days, so I went there on the last two.
Very cool.
You know, gave him a little bit of space to do his thing, not breathe down his neck the whole time. But then I got to go there to God City and be there in the room with him while he finished it up. So
that's
got
to be a cool experience, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
So this is a question that, you know, it's something that, I mean, we could go on and on. I know that you guys are heavily influenced by old school death metal, but we all know the big four of thrash, right? Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, Anthrax. But to you, Chase, what are your personal big four of death metal?
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. See, that's hard, and you guys probably can relate. It's hard when you are such a big fan of music and such a nerd about music.
Yeah.
To narrow it down, even if someone asks me what my favorite band is, I can't even give them.
Oh yeah, there's no way. You know? Yeah, there's no way.
But are we just talking general? We're talking American.
Just your personal
Swedish death metal.
Hey, any death metal. It could be mellow death. It could be mellow death. It could be old. It could be American. It could be Swedish. Just your personal top four. Big four, Chase Mason's big four, death metal.
And I've always found that maybe sometimes the first four off the top of your head, man, sometimes usually are the ones.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to have to say Death, Morbid Angel, Obituary, and Autopsy.
What?
Nice. All right. Okay, some old. Autopsy. Yep. I like it, dude. And the Death too, man, because, you know, as prog as they got, man, they were originators and it's all good stuff, man. That's a big, and you can't go wrong with that question. You could say, you know, Cannibal Corpse, you know, freaking, Dismembered, Entombed, and At the Gates, and it wouldn't be a wrong answer.
Right,
it's all just personal preference. So,
So, dude, like we've always said, and especially, you know, I've always said, the bigger the musical zone, the bigger the musical person. Kevin and I are both into a lot of like different types of music, not just heavy stuff, not just metal. What are a couple of albums in your collection that some people might be surprised to hear that you're like into, or that you own, or like that you jock?
The guy from Gate Creepers into what?
All right.
Hey, I love Brooks and Dunn, dude. Like, I got no shame, dude. I'm into it all.
Since I already shouted him out earlier, I'm going to give my hometown heroes, Jimmy Eat World, another shout out.
All right. Cool.
Their album, Clarity, is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
I really like a lot of that. Like, I think it's because they're from my town, and this is kind of the atmosphere and the whole scene that was kind of around it. Obviously, they're, like, older than me.
Yeah,
but it kind of created this whole kind of the DIY house show sort of world in the early 2000s when I was coming up was kind of centered around that sort of like emo stuff.
Yeah.
And we're talking like real emo, not like MySpace Hot Topic emo.
Yeah.
We're talking about Jimmy World and that.
Get Up Kids, Sunny Day Real Estate. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, my last band.
There's another one. I just bought Sunny Day Real Estate Diary on vinyl. Like, I literally bought it like 2 days ago.
There's some Northwest love, man.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Hey, but so it's like we said,
like,
man,
that I'm really into.
Do you ever feel like people like get on you for liking like softer music?
Not really. I guess like I had a different trajectory into metal or to death metal. So, you know, like a lot of, I'm 32 right now. I don't know how old you guys are. Probably similar age.
Yep, 34.
Yeah, I'm 33.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. So you guys know when we were younger and you know, the formative ages of getting into music, late '90s, early 2000s. I got into punk first.
Yeah.
Like Blink-182 and MXPX. A Northwest. Pacific Northwest shout out.
Move to Bremerton,
Washington.
We could do some serious kicking it.
Yeah, so I got into all that stuff, and then I got in, and then through skateboarding, like got into all the skate punk, Epitaph, Fat Records, you know, NOFX, Pennywise.
Yeah.
So at this point, is there like 99, 2000, and new metal is really big.
Okay, yeah.
So for me, it was like the kids that I knew, it was like you either like punk or you like metal. If you like metal, that means you like new metal.
Fair enough.
You like Korn or
And you probably wear JNCOs.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't like metal. I don't like metal. I like punk, you know?
Fair enough.
I kind of circumvented that, and from the punk, and then I got into that emo sort of stuff, Jimmy World and the Get Up Kids, like that. So I kind of circumvented around the metal. And from the emo stuff, I got into hardcore, and then from hardcore, I got into the more metallic hardcore, and then got into metal that way. Because I realized the hardcore that I liked was pretty much just metal.
Right. So you probably liked Unearth and like Integrity and like bands like that.
Yeah. And then like it ended up at the Black Dahlia Murder when that first record came out. I was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And then I saw
Unhollowed.
Trevor. Yeah. He still does, but he even back then was repping a bunch of bands. He was talking about At the Gates and Carcass and Deception. So I got into that through there. And I don't care. People, you know, like that's everybody gets into it a certain way. That's how I got into it.
Hell yeah. You're not the only one.
A lot of people that are my peers or that are in metal bands that are my age, they went through new metal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's not my story.
Yeah, I remember getting Family Values Tour 98 disc from the mall.
I like that you admit this because it's so easy to just pretend that you were the most crucial, the most true, the most cult from you know, birth. You know, we don't all have that cool older brother who's going to hand us, you know, a Morbid Angel demo tape. You know, we got to go through certain routes but from what we what we can kind of tell from you is that you're a student of the game and that you just studied up on every step of the way. And if you're going to be into emo, you'll just dive deep. And if you're going to be into death metal, you'll dive deep. Is that correct?
Yeah, totally. I mean, thanks to the internet, it's easy.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm a self-taught person. Like, you know, I learned how to play music self-taught. You know, I learned how to do pretty much anything I do self-taught. So it's like, if you have the internet and you're like, oh, I like this music, I'm just going to dig super deep. So yeah, you're right. Once I get into, you know, as a music fan, and you and probably the listeners can relate, there's never enough.
Absolutely.
You know, it's funny to be like a metal fan or a death metal fan and say like, oh, I like Suffocation. That's not enough. I'm going to find 100 different bands that to the untrained ear sound exactly like Suffocation.
Right. Or
I'm gonna buy all their records.
Who taught them? And then you dig deeper down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Down to the OG, the OG roots.
You can't just be surface. You got to go deeper. Yeah. You got to be like, oh, I like Suffocation. Oh, I like Devourment. Oh, man, I like Devourment, but I really, really like, you know, Prostitute Disfigurement, man.
You're like, oh, yeah. And then your parents are like, we need to send you to therapy.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Chase, one of our favorite questions to ask anybody, pick a scar on your body. Tell the story about how you got it, man.
All right. That's easy. I got two big scars on my forearm, my wrist forearm.
Okay.
I broke it skateboarding.
Oof.
And I got two metal plates and 11 screws in my arm.
Damn.
What was the trick you were doing, man?
11?
That's gnarly.
It was nothing even cool. I'd literally been at the skate park for like 2 minutes, and I was just doing a transfer, basically.
Okay.
And I landed on the other side of the incline, not at the right angle, and it just slipped out.
That's when all the other kids go, oh!
Yeah, pretty much.
Ambulance.
We need to get Gate Creeper in a Tony Hawk Pro Skater video game.
That would be sick.
Right?
That would be really making it.
I was in Thrasher.
Oh, there you go, man. You made it, dude. All right, dude. So we're going to see you November 29th at the substation with Exhumed Necrod Judiciary. We're speaking with Chase Mason from Gate Creeper. Do you have any final words for the Northwest before we drop another song on them?
No. I mean, I can't wait to get back there. We always have a good time in Seattle, so. Stoked to be back.
Right on, man. Chase Mason from Gate Creeper. Here's Barbaric Pleasures, also a name of a Gate Creeper pizza slice. Got to get one of those. All right, Chase. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.